Hey, what's up, everybody? My name's MJ, and you're listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. As usual, I'd like to give a quick shout-out to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find Guardian Games on the web at ggportland.com. I'd also like to give a huge shout-out and thank you to my patron, Mr. Big Benz, for supporting me over on my Patreon at patreon.com/mtginquarantine. If you want to help support the channel and help make me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/mtginquarantine for more information and reward details. Also, I have another really exciting announcement. My podcast just hit its 100th episode, and as such, I am doing a giveaway of one of your choice of the new Magic the Gathering Innistrad Midnight Hunt pre-constructed commander decks. All you need to do is go on over to twitter.com/mtginquarantine. Find the giveaway post and make sure to like, retweet, and follow my account to be entered into the drawing. Also, you can get bonus entries if you listen to the 100th episode on my podcast and comment with your answer to the prompt in the comment section of that giveaway post. So definitely check that out if you want to be entered to win one of the new Midnight Hunt pre-constructed commander decks of your choice. All right, so again, here on the MTG in Quarantine podcast, I always say that I try to bring a lot of positivity to a very divided, sometimes toxic community, because I realize that Magic the Gathering is a great game. It's for everyone. Everyone can find something that they really enjoy about this game. And it's really cool to be able to bring a lot of the positive aspects to the community, sometimes when things don't necessarily seem all that great, or there's a lot of picking and fighting going on. It's really good to try to be a voice of reason, a voice of positivity amongst some of the chaos. And I'm very glad to know that I'm not alone in this pursuit. There's a lot of great people in the community who are trying to do similar things like this, and I would like to introduce someone who is definitely working towards bringing a lot of positivity through the game and learning on the job in the process. I would like to introduce, on her very first podcast episode, burgeoning TikTok star Anomaly, a new EDH player. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
No problem. It's an absolute honor having you on the episode.
Thank you for inviting me on here. I'm really excited to do this with you.
I'm really excited to have you on too. So before we get started, do you want to talk a little bit about your TikTok and the content that you create?
Oh yeah, sure. I'm on TikTok as Anomaly, and I'm basically just documenting my journey learning how to play Magic and trying to be really open about the highs and the lows of it, while also trying to focus on the more positive sides of it instead of talking about the things that I dislike about the game or anything like that. I'm just trying to highlight the things that make the game worth playing and investing in.
Yeah, that definitely makes two of us. It's a lot more fun to think positively than it is to think negatively about this, isn't it?
Yes, it really is. And it keeps me coming back and having a good feeling when I talk about it. Like, I like playing this game and I like the feeling that it brings me. I don't want it to be weighed down by everybody else's opinions about what's ruining the game.
Yeah, and unfortunately there's a lot of that going on out in the community there, and it's our job as creators and just as community members to try to push back on that and just say, you know, Magic is a great game. There is room for everyone in this game. Why can't we all get along? And it's a never-ending battle, honestly.
It is, but luckily there's people like you and like me and a lot of other really positive creators that are able to shine a light into the darkness, I guess. And yeah. And overall, people are pretty cool in this community.
Yeah, there's a ton of great people out there. So if you're listening to this episode, definitely go out and find the MTG Twitter community. There's a lot of great people out there, a lot of great creators, community members, etc., etc., a lot of Discords out there that are just so positive. There's a lot of great people out there who want to play games and just talk about Magic. And honestly, if you're really struggling to find a good community, definitely check out some places like my good friend Coach Jero has the Skull Symbol Discord, or go to MTG Lexicon to find their looking for game community, you can find a lot of other great places like that. I only named two of the places that I frequent, but there's just so many. Make sure that if you feel like you're kind of stuck where you are right now, definitely check out some of the Discords because there's a lot of great people out there who'd like to play games with you as soon as you're willing to take the chance and join. So again, now that I've given that little plug right there, I kind of just wanted to go back to the very beginning of playing Magic the Gathering for both of us. Again, you're very new to the game. You're still learning a lot of the ropes. It's been interesting watching you on Twitter, on social media, really start to learn the ropes of the game and start kind of hitting some of the same roadblocks that all of us have inevitably experienced when we are first starting to get into the game, playing against people who really know what they're doing, know what the cards do, the interactions, and it can be very frustrating. Could you just kind of walk us through the process of you getting started in Magic and just kind of just, just walk us through your experiences since you started playing kind of up till now?
I always grew up around the game. My father, he was really big into the game from day one. So there were always Magic cards laying around our house. And I just had no interest in it. I was doing other nerdy things. But then when I started, I got into a relationship about 2 years ago with a man that collects Magic cards. Like he's a He loves collecting cards and he loves playing competitively. And I would watch him over about the first year we were dating, making new decks and sitting at the edge of the bed with all of these cards sprawled out on the floor and watching videos and putting things together and then taking two different decks and playing against himself to try and play test the new decks he was building. And when the pandemic hit, I felt kind of hardened to being depressed. And so being able to watch him do things and listen to him while he talked about the game, it started helping to pull me out of it a bit. So I asked if I could learn how to play, so at the very least he would have an easier time with testing his decks. And I didn't expect to fall in love with the game the way that I did. It's like chess. I fell in love with playing chess, and Magic kind of reminded me of like a cross between chess and a card game that I had been playing for years called Munchkin, right? I could play chess but customize the pieces that were on my board. And I was always used to games coming pretty naturally to me, but this one from the get-go had been so difficult. And I think that kind of made That motivated me more because I wanted to learn how to play this game because it became like important almost for like for my mental health. Like the pandemic took so many different things away from me. This is going to be my way out. This is going to be my way to pull myself out of the depression. I'm going to throw myself into learning how to play this game and improve my self-esteem, show myself that I really can set goals again and do things and have fun and meet new people. And Magic has been my way to do all of those things.
Yeah, and it's you hit on a lot of cool things right there. It's been kind of the same for me since the COVID time started. Is again, for people who've been listening to my podcast for a long time, you know this, but COVID has also taken a lot from me, taken a lot of my social opportunities away, and Magic has really, even though I was playing before COVID, I really started to double down on Magic just like you did. When the pandemic took a lot of the normal things I would be doing away from me, and Magic was a very interesting lifeline. It's honestly why I started creating content as well, because I realized I had interesting opinions and I just wanted to talk about things I enjoyed. And that's so it's really cool that both of us have really had a very similar experience with COVID offering us an opportunity to find some sense of community in a very disorienting time such as this.
Yeah, it's really helping to keep me grounded through all of it. There's something that's stable and consistent.
Yeah, but it's also a really cool creative pursuit. I know that we were talking before the show about you're thinking of trying to build another deck. You have the first deck that you really started with, and you're trying to branch out, learn some new strategies. And that's just the really cool thing for me, is I remember exactly when I was in that position. I started very similarly to you, and I didn't quite know exactly where I wanted to go with my first deck, but you only really learn by doing, and over time, I watched a lot of gameplay videos, talked with some other people in my local game store, and really started to learn the rules of the game to the point where, you know, I feel more comfortable playing the game now at a certain level versus where I was before. Also, I learned how to run removal in my decks. That was really important, but I digress. I digress about that. So, since I did mention your first deck, I know that you love squirrels, so let's talk about Chatterfang a little bit. Yeah. Squirrels and fun stuff. Yeah, do you want to tell the listeners kind of how you got into squirrels and just, you know, why you just love your Chatterfang deck so much?
I've been a big fan of squirrels since I was a kid. The movie The Emperor's New Groove, when it came out.
Oh, that is a classic. I love that movie.
Yes. My personality was so similar to Krunk. So the second that his character was introduced, I felt like this instant connection with him, both in his personality and how the other characters would treat him. And so I kind of, for a little period of time, made it a big part of my personality. Made Krunk become part of my personality, and Krunk loved squirrels, so I had to love squirrels. And you know how, like, the more often you think about a yellow car, the more often you're going to see the yellow car in person or while you're out doing things. That's mm-hmm. what happened with squirrels. Said Krunk loves squirrels, so I love squirrels, and everywhere I would go out, I would see squirrels and have to point them out. And started when I became a teenager, got really into Foamy the squirrel. I don't know if you're familiar.
No,
with
I
him.
Maybe, huh? Maybe.
He's basically more like an edgy happy bunny. He was just an online character back in the early days of like Mini Clips and E-Bombs World and stuff, just making short, angry skits that were hilarious. And just anytime there was a squirrel after Emperor's New Groove came out, I had to be all about it. So so getting into playing Magic, I was only playing my boyfriend's decks, because he would build decks and I would use one of his to help him play test the new ones he was creating. And I finally got tired of that. I wanted to have something that was my own. And I went on TikTok and started asking questions about how I could build my own deck. And almost immediately afterwards, Modern Horizon 2 spoilers came out and I saw Chatterfang. And I actually made a TikTok of the moment that I found that card, that spoiler for it, and just freaking out, like, there's squirrels in this game! Nobody told me that this game had squirrels! And that was over. There was nothing, there was no other option in my head but to build a Chatterfang deck so that I could have an army of squirrels that would make Krunk proud of me.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I love that movie. Krunk is so funny. And the fact he's... he kind of doesn't know what he's doing, but he's just got that innocent, sweet quality to him that just endears him to everyone who watches that film. It's great. And yeah, there's a lot of cool squirrel stuff that's out there nowadays that this is really possible. I mean, obviously, there were a lot of cards that were out in the olden days of the 90s, if we can really call that the olden days. I mean, it wasn't that long ago, but it seems like it was. And
right.
Yeah, and there were some cards, again, this is why we've seen so many buyouts on the squirrel cards, the really, really, really good ones from 20 years ago, but yeah, just the opportunity to be able to bring in a legendary squirrel that's actually got some interesting and unique play styles to it definitely was a huge hit in the community, and it's good to know that this was the gateway for you to really be able to get into building your own deck and really finding your personality within the game. That's what I just love hearing about, is what really got you into the game. And again, everyone has a different way of getting into the game. I got into this game because I was really bored on a Saturday, and I just went and bought some Magic cards, because I used to play card games as a kid, but I quit because they stopped being fun. And it's just funny how I just bought a bunch of cards, and I just knew before I bought them at the register, you know, I have a feeling that I'm going to get way too addicted to this game before too long. I need to stop that. And now look at me several years later. I'm creating a Magic the Gathering podcast. I think I did pretty well with my $20 or whatever it was that I spent that day. But yeah, but getting into Commander especially, it's just like I had my own pet commanders. It's like, I kind of want to make this work. It's not going to be a good deck, but I want to make this work because it's cool. It does this functionally interesting thing that I want to play with. And that's what got me into the format, got me into really where I am now with my super goofy building style that a lot of people don't understand, but they definitely respect.
That's what I wanted to do with Chatterfang. I wasn't expecting to, especially my first year, like take this very first deck that I built and start winning competitions with it or anything. But I started seeing some people that were excited about squirrels becoming a more viable option for a tribal deck. And I saw a lot of people scoffing at the idea and saying that there's no way that squirrels could ever be competitive and it's just another stupid meme deck or another pet deck that's not going to go anywhere. It's going to be annoying and boring. And I wanted to change that.
Yeah,
I wanted to show that there was a way to make a really fun deck that was squirrels that could scare people.
oh yeah, one of my friends on Twitter who's actually been on my show is Heil, actually built a Chatterfang deck too, and that thing slaps from what I hear. It is no joke. So
Yes.
yeah, Chatterfang is for anyone who thinks that squirrels are not good, you clearly haven't run into the buzzsaw that is Chatterfang when people really want to bring it up to a level, because that is a real powerhouse. Yeah, again, that's just kind of one of those things where I always try to push back is every card is very playable. Maybe the person who says the Chatterfang isn't playable hasn't necessarily tried that strategy. And I feel like you really can't hate on something like that until you've tried it and realized, well, this actually isn't half bad. I've built commanders basically because people said they were unplayable. I was like, really? I think differently. My beloved Kotha-fed Soul Hoarder deck, which I actually just played earlier the day that we're recording this, and draw me a boatload of cards. I still died, but that was a certain commander where people said, that's unplayable. Why would you ever play this? I built a deck around it. I enjoy it very much because of the exact same reasons they said it was unplayable. So, again, it's that mindset that we're in this to be creative, to find new avenues. And yeah, sure, people might say that these cards are unplayable, but as long as they bring joy to us as the player who is piloting these decks, that's all that really matters in the end.
I think that's a big part of what goes into whether people think a card or a strategy is really playable or not. If you're not excited about it, at least for me, it's hard for me to really learn the ins and outs of something that I'm not excited about in the first place. If that's going to be my motivating factor, I got to be passionate about it, be interested, curious, and enjoy what's going on with it, or I'm not going to play it very well.
Yeah, I've definitely had decks that they just don't bring me a lot of joy, and I don't play with those decks as much because I don't feel inspired when I play them. So the decks that I play the most are the ones that I really feel a connection with. It's like, this is why I built this deck, and I'm doing this really cool thing, and that's what matters in the end.
Absolutely.
So, switching gears a little bit, since you built the Chatterfang deck, you really started to kind of jump in head first to the Magic the Gathering Twitter community, and you found a lot of people who are very like-minded. It's been awesome watching you grow. You got into the TikTok scene, and I guess my next question for you is, how is it, being on TikTok, just having a lot of people following you, following your progress, and is it sometimes overwhelming just trying to deal with all of that sudden fame?
See, I had such a small little TikTok before finding the MTG community, and then when I found y'all, at first it wasn't that overwhelming. It wasn't a like overnight kind of thing. But a couple weeks into making content, that's when suddenly, like I don't know if a particular person shared it with the right group, but I woke up one morning and looked at my account and saw that I had 16,000 followers,
Whoa.
and it suddenly hit like there's 16,000 people waiting to see what I do, and it was intimidating. It's still a bit intimidating because I, no matter how many followers that I have on that account, my goal was to go ahead and still be open and honest and talk about the things that I'm learning, even if I get stuff wrong. And I get stuff wrong all the time. I mess up on pronouncing the word or spelling it, or mess up on what its abilities are. And now I feel like I think I'm at like 23,000 followers
Whoa.
now, and sometimes it hits me that thousands of people are watching me screw up every single day. But I try to pull myself out of that mindset and try to think more like there's thousands of people that are seeing making mistakes in this game be more normal, more normalized.
Yeah, and that's really why I've had an absolute blast following your progress by watching your TikToks, watching your Twitter, and all that. Is that I definitely felt that your story, everything you were going through, really resonated with me. That's why I really wanted to have you on the show here to talk about this, is because sometimes I feel like a lot of players in the community forget what it's like to be a new player or someone who's still learning the ropes. And again, in my personal experience back in my local game stores, I had some bad experiences sometimes because people would kind of take your newness for granted. It's like, well, you're not very good. You get better. And it's, maybe sometimes we need to kind of change that narrative that, people all had to start somewhere. I definitely started somewhere. I chose the path that I went on to make janky, silly decks. I could have easily optimized my decks. I made a hard choice, but only after I really started to learn how the game worked. And it's just been really cool to see you going through the exact same growing pains and really find your niche, being able to make a TikTok channel that effectively is like how to be a new player and also kind of the lumps of a new player 101 and how you try to bust through that mental wall of this, there's so much text. I mean, if you look at the comprehensive rule set that I have on my computer, it's 200 and some pages long of all of the rules to Magic the Gathering. And I'm not going to ask anyone to just sit there and go through that, read that line for line. This isn't a legal document. It's just typically over time, you just learn what you need and refer back to it once in a while. And there's a ton of people out there who are willing to help. That's why we have judges. That's why we have these online communities. People will know what the correct thing is. And it's that process of going from, I really like this game, but I don't know how to get started, to then, okay, I like this game, but I'm having this problem. Where do I go? And then it's just been so cool watching you grow and evolve. Just even the last couple of months that I've known you on social media, to just see how far you've come and just, really see kind of that little bit of myself a couple of years ago when I was learning how to play. And it's been so awesome to see that same kind of experience now pushed into the mainstream because of what you're doing.
Yeah, that's pretty much the goal of my channel is to normalize being a new player and making every possible mistake. It seems like with this game more than other games that I learn way more from making mistakes over and over again. There's other games where it's the rules are pretty simple and straightforward, and after playing once or twice, then you get how it's supposed to be played and can take off with it. This game is not like that at all. At all. Every day I am mispronouncing the names of the cards or get the wrong name altogether, misunderstanding what certain abilities can and can't do. But I'm not beating myself up about it so much anymore because the more I'm playing with people, even people that when they introduce themselves to me say that they've been playing for over 10 years, we'll get halfway through a game and they'll go, "Wait a minute, Oh my God, I've been using this card wrong my entire life.
Oh man, that is so priceless. Oh man, yeah. But again, the pronunciation thing is that it's whatever we want it to be. I'm pretty sure I mispronounce most of my legends too. But you know, ultimately, it's up to us. Again, no one else says Koth the Fed. I do. It's the way that for me it makes sense. Kind of makes the deck my own. So yeah, it's just one of those things where once we get past that phobia of just trying to do everything so correct to the most minute detail that we really start to see the beauty of this game. We're able to take the shell of the misunderstandings and just the kind of the nervousness of trying something new, and we feel like we can make this game more our own.
Yes, absolutely. Like it's getting easier. Every time I make a mistake, it's getting easier to accept it. Like I just found out today I've been calling the Colossus Hammer the wrong name for months and didn't realize it until this morning. I've been calling it a Colossal Hammer.
Well, it is.
Well, yeah, that's what I thought that was the name, and because I'd only seen it used against me once
Okay,
and
yeah.
blew my freaking mind. And so I was like, I need to get that card, the Colossal Hammer. I need, like, I think I even made a tweet this morning. Somebody asked what cards I really wanted to have in my collection that I didn't, and I said so confidently, the Colossal Hammer! And Lauren collects. But it's getting easier. I think people are starting to get used to that. Yeah, I'm gonna keep saying things wrong over and over again, and I'm going to eventually learn, and it doesn't affect anything. Me calling it a colossal hammer and finding out later it's colossus,
We know
it
it
changes
does.
absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I mean, if you said Colossal Hammer to me, oh, Colossus Hammer. Yeah, I know exactly what that does, or I can look it up. So it's one of those things where I don't find it a problem. It's only a problem if you're potentially saying something wrong to like deceive me, and you're not gonna deceive me, right? So it's just one of those things where you learn, and over time, it becomes reflexive. I used to think that I had to try to memorize every card in Magic the Gathering. You know, I need to know what all these things do. And, you know, then with the COVID times, I found Scryfall, I found EDHREC, I found all the really cool websites that I can just search up a card at instant speed, huh? See what I did there? I can find the names of cards that I want to look at, and I can see exactly what they do. And that really has evened the playing out for me, that I don't need to have all this institutional knowledge. Sure, I know what some of these cards do because I see them all the time, especially in my local play group where we play the same decks a lot of the time. But when I go out in the community and I'm playing with other awesome people, sometimes, you know, I have to look up what a card does. And, you know, you never really know what's going to happen until you get there. But yeah, that's definitely one of those things where with time, it just gets easier. And as long as people know what you're talking about, I don't see a problem with it.
Yeah, I think when I first started playing, I was playing with the wrong people and paying attention to the wrong people because it seemed like they never made mistakes and that they knew everything about everything. And that really affected my self-esteem in the beginning because I really thought that I was just not smart enough to learn how to play this game because I didn't see other people making these kinds of mistakes that I was making every single game.
Yeah, I definitely
And
felt the
now I'm
same
finding
way.
out.
I felt the
Sorry.
same way about yeah. No worries. I felt the exact same way as you did. Is I got into a community where I didn't really know what I was doing, and I was just farbling along, hoping no one would point their finger at me sternly and say, "You're a newbie. You don't know what you're doing. Stop playing." And it's just like it's you're just kind of clutching your cards, hoping that you don't make a mistake, and it's just over time, you just get more comfortable doing things. You stop worrying about what other people are going to think, and you just do that thing.
Yeah, it used to feel like a lot of people have mentioned the anxiety of when you're in a grocery store and you're in the checkout line and there's a huge line behind you and you're trying to put everything back into your wallet and get out of the way and you're fumbling and dropping things and get really anxious, like, oh my God, everybody's watching me do. And That's how it felt in the beginning, trying to play magic with other people, like me having to be reminded to untap all of my lands before drawing, or to remember to play my land for turn. And I really felt like that person fumbling with their wallet while everybody else was staring and glaring at me. But it's so much better now. It really is finding all these new people, especially between TikTok and Twitter. Like there's like a never ending supply of awesome people that are totally patient and willing to help me no matter how long it takes for me to get it right. And I really appreciate those kinds of people.
Yeah, and if it makes you feel any better, I actually forgot a land drop in my games earlier today, so it happens to everyone, honestly.
Yes, good. That does help. It really does make me feel better when people tell me, "No, here, want to hear about what I just screwed up yesterday?" And I've been playing since 1998, so that those moments really help.
Yeah, and again, I think that's why sometimes some of the most enjoyable plays that you have, or things that kind of get under your skin, is you make that mistake and then you try not to repeat it sometimes. Or conversely, if it's funny, it's like, oh, I did this really dumb thing. I had a game a while back, I was like, I should play this removal. And then it's like, okay, I'm gonna wait to play my removal. I'm gonna play my spells, right? Past turn. I'm gonna use removal. Oh, wait, I need one more mana. Oh,
Yes,
and then immediately
exactly.
die that turn when it's like you use your removal that you have in hand when you have the mana to cast it. And it's just, we're not perfect. We're human. So we make all sorts of mistakes, and it's the kind of thing where you gotta remember to learn from it, but also don't get too discouraged about it. Next time, you'll remember when you messed up and you'll say, I need to keep that mana open because I got to do this one thing, and then hopefully you kind of purge that misplay from your mind. But yeah, I mean, it happens to everyone. Everyone screws up in this game, and that's why it, even though how intricate it is, it's really simple in the end if you know how, I mean, like it seems simple, but it's so, yeah, it's so complex that we all make mistakes. And we can't play perfectly, but that's the whole point of our format, is sometimes that leads to really silly stuff that we didn't really expect happening. If I hadn't missed my land drop, I don't know. Maybe something else would have happened. I don't know. But yeah, it's definitely a learning experience, and it's how we deal with those learning experiences that's really important.
Yeah, and I think that's what I meant by how that I seem to learn way more about this game through making the mistakes. Because I'll make mistakes and everything, and I'll think, okay, I'm not going to let that happen to me again. And that's how I've been able to keep improving, is every time I make the mistakes, just remembering what I did, doing a replay in my head, and figuring out what I can do better next time.
Yeah, this is definitely something like I've noticed Nathan Jones on Twitter, so I'm calling out the Hermit Druid for this one. I've noticed
Yes.
that what he does, and he's a great guy. I've really wanted to have him on the show for some time, so if I can make that happen, I will try to make that happen. But what I've noticed about him is he makes no bones about writing down things that he hasn't seen before or that he didn't expect. Making notes, preparing himself for the next game. That if something like this happens, hey, I know potentially what you're going to try to do. I'm going to try to make sure that I have the resources to stop it. So again, it's a little bit different when you get into CDH, that you're seeing a tighter card pool. You're not seeing as many strategies as with casual EDH, but the concept of always learning, always watching, always improving definitely has made me impressed with the way he is going at the game.
Yeah, I've very much enjoyed being able to get to know him, but I've only been talking to him for a couple of weeks now, but he's only ever been the kindest person. Like he hasn't ever once tried to hit on me or be rude in any way. He genuinely is like, "Hey, I see that you're a new player and I want to help you on this journey. You say that you want to learn about this strategy? I know about that strategy. Let me know you have when you have free time." And we'll do a Discord call, and I'll tell you everything about it. It's Nathan is a treasure.
He really
He
is.
really is.
He really is. And I feel like I haven't used that resource of talking to him about different CEDH decks that I'm interested in getting into because I'm interested. I mean, both of us are interested in trying out CEDH, but we're really not sure where to start. And Nathan is just one of many creators who are just so willing to help people get into that side of the format because they've been where we are. They know how difficult it is to try to change your mindset to go from a more casual pool to going to basically pushing 100 card legacy effectively. And it's a complete mind shift, but there are just so many great people out there that are making this possible that again people other great people like Mod Anon, Scoots that I've been talking with, Alan from Mental Misplay, just and again a ton of other people who I can't again there's just so many people out there, Mr. Grimoire's, Gemstone Mine, just so many great CDH people out there who are really willing to help people get into that side of the format. It's unfortunately a little bit stickier with the casual side of things, and but again, there's still so many great people out there to talk to, really work ideas out with. This is why my friends J-Ro and Mono White Border and some other great people out there, Zynum, for instance, we will talk about what we're doing and kind of bounce ideas off each other. I mean, Mono White Border did dare me to build a five color colorless deck that now I just love that deck. It's really fun. And people are never salty about it because I did exactly what I said at the outset. It's a weird deck, and it's fun. So definitely, just there's so many great people out there in the community that no matter what you're looking to do, someone out there is willing and very willing to help you figure out whatever it is you need, whether that's advice about your deck, whether that's cards you want to try to potentially add, or whether you want to try a completely new strategy. There's someone out there to talk to you about whatever it is. That's what's so great about our community.
And that's what I do on TikTok a lot of the times is find ways to start those conversations and start the whole bouncing ideas off of each other, of people being taking out their decks and showing me the individual cards and sending me their deck list in the DMs and really helping me understand their thought process and what went into building their deck, why they're passionate about it. And I used their strategies today to pick my the next commander deck that I'm going to make. A lot of them suggested doing a more randomized way of picking one since I was so indecisive. And it worked for me. I tried it. Now I finally have a new commander to start working on.
Yeah, and would you like to reveal that for the world so everyone knows what they're going to have to expect the next time they play you at the EDH table?
Brunnor Battle Hammer. I'm already in the process of getting my Colossus Hammer as well. Like, I'm going to be going all out on an equipment heavy Boros Voltron type deck. It's going to be great. I just learned those words this morning. I hope I used them correctly.
Oh,
Boros and Voltron.
you definitely did. So no worries about
Yes.
that. People know exactly what you're talking about. So you're fine. Perfectly fine there.
Perfect.
All right. So again, shifting gears again a little bit. I suppose the next thing I want to ask about is now that you've really been a part of our community for a while, now that you've had a chance to meet people, play games, work on your decks, learn new strategies, et cetera, what is a couple, or what are a couple of pieces of advice you'd give your to former you as you were just trying to get started about how to get into the game and how to understand wading into content creation and just the community in general?
You can be motivated and dedicated to learning a new hobby without taking it so seriously. It's not a race. It's not a competition. It's supposed to be a hobby. It's supposed to be a game. It's supposed to be a fun social experience. So if you're ever not having fun, you gotta re-examine what you're doing and try something new so that you're having fun. And it's okay to take a step back if things are getting stressful, because again, it's supposed to be a fun game. There's no shame from taking a break from it. Just about every single person I've talked to that's played Magic has gone through periods where they took a step back from the game for even years before returning to it when they were in the headspace to have fun with it again.
Yeah, that's really important, is to know when to walk away, or just when to potentially change what you're looking to get out of the game. Again, I use my examples of nearly wanting to quit the game after I'd run into a really hard time at my local LGS. It's like I wasn't getting the experience I wanted to out of the game. And over time, finding the right people to motivate me. And then with COVID shutdown, I had to find things to do, and I started to get more involved in the community and really started to develop my own style that made me happy. And that was really my epiphany of, this game is really great. I should do exactly what it is that I think makes me happy, and that's build weird decks that do weird things. And I haven't looked back since.
Yeah, and once you figure out what makes you happy, you're going to attract other people that are into the same types of gameplay that you're into. And you're able to keep having fun that way. Just find the other people that are doing similar things that you like to do, and just have fun. And the other important thing was related to making sure you're having fun is somebody had advised me to think about why I am playing Magic and find reasons why I enjoy the game that have absolutely nothing to do with winning. Because even the people that are considered the best Magic players in the world do not win all of the time or even most of the time. So I have to find another reason why I enjoy playing this game other than winning. That way, when I don't win, there's other things to fall back on that so I can still walk away from the game feeling happy and satisfied.
Yeah, I mean, one of my favorite memories was of a game where we ended up in a draw. And, I didn't win, I didn't lose, but I didn't win. So it's like, part of me wants to say, well, but you didn't win, right? And then the other part of me is, but, getting a draw and blowing up 68 trillion plant tokens simultaneously to create a draw, that was pretty cool. Yeah. And it's just those kinds of memories that really stick with us as Magic players. Just keep going, find what makes you happy, and as long as you're doing the thing that makes you happy, then that's all that matters.
Exactly. That's what matters, is that the game is fun and it's making you happy. That's the number one advice.
And that is amazing advice for just anyone who's new to Magic the Gathering, is find that happy place and then, try to branch out some. Both you and I are potentially, or we are thinking of really getting into CEDH, and that's been a very uncomfortable process of us trying to get out of our shells here. It's almost like learning, it's almost like trying to learn EDH over again, right? It's a completely different mind frame. And, but there is support in place. And now that we know the rules of the game, it's a lot easier than us just trying to say, okay, I want to learn how to drive a sports car. I don't even know how to drive, but I'm gonna do that. Well, now we know how to drive, right? And we just need to figure out, okay, what's it like being in this exact precision vehicle that's meant to go up to 200 miles an hour, right? And it's a learning curve. I'm not gonna lie. It's very daunting, but once you really start to get into the community, once you see a lot of content out there, and you start really learning what the differences within the game is, it gets easier over time. So yeah, my advice to a new player is to definitely try things out. You're gonna take your lumps, but you'll get better over time, I promise. Just stick with it and you will get better and you will find what you enjoy about it. And then you've basically made it.
I like that. I like that way of thinking.
Yeah, okay. So again, we're gonna change gears here a little bit. I hear you really like a certain Planeswalker. So I want to hear a little bit more about your interest in playing with Kaya Planeswalker cards. Walk me through that.
I want to own a Kaya Planeswalker card so bad. I've never pulled any Planeswalker cards yet. But That was something that really drew me in to the point that I was willing to spend money on the game for the first time, was seeing Kaya's face on one of those booster boxes. I'd never seen a fictional character that looked like me before. Like, there's been people that have been in my inbox asking, or believing that I was the person that was used when the artist created. Like, we're the same age, we have just about the exact same skin tone, we have the same hair type. Like, I've never seen a fictional cartoon character that looks so much like me. So I dug deep and learned as much about her lore as I could when I found her. And she's such a badass.
Oh yeah, especially, I mean, before Call Time was already there, and then with the Call Time set just kind of went into, this ridiculously badass mode. And then with the current Boom Studios comics has definitely taken that character growth and has really run with it in a very interesting and enlightening way.
I haven't gotten to read the comics yet that have her. Do you know if they go more into her backstory? Because I still don't feel like I've gotten any concrete answers to her royal lineage backstory and exactly how she got her powers in the first
No,
place.
unfortunately, I've only gone through the fourth one because I still need to find the fifth one, but the fifth issue. But unfortunately, they really haven't gotten a lot into that because they need to obviously service the story, right? So there's not a lot of character development, but I've really enjoyed how our character has been portrayed in that as, kind of being willing sometimes to just lay it out as she thinks it is. It's like, things are this way, and I don't care what you think. It's a really fun way that really works well with the other characters who can be who are volatile in their own way, but also it's just a really interesting interaction that I've definitely enjoyed through the first four issues of that series.
Yeah, it's and also it's been really important to me to have fictional characters whose storyline and personality traits and character development aren't just centered on their race. There's a lot of really cool African American fictional characters out there that I haven't been able to like fully get into because so much of who they are and what they do is centered around I'm black. My ancestors were once slaves. Let's go ahead and do some sort of episode that transports you back into the slave time period, and you gotta escape that.
Oh,
Kaya
yeah.
has nothing to do with that. Kaya is a badass character that happens to also look like me.
And has a
They're
very interesting power too, the ability to effectively turn into a
yes.
ghost and just kill undead spirit things. Yeah, that is really cool.
Yes, exactly. And her weapons, I swear they get cooler every time I see her.
Yeah, they really are. I think it's really been cool to see how we've started to get characters from more diverse backgrounds within Magic the Gathering's lore. I had Sheepwave on here a long time back to talk about diversity and representation in Magic, especially around Call Time, where we were getting Nico, we had Kaya really taking a lead role in that set, and we were really just talking about how we're starting to see more of this. Obviously, not nearly enough, because there's a lot of bridges that still need to be crossed there, but at least we're starting to see some more characters that are looking like they're looking like people who have not really been able to be enfranchised in this space, in this game. It's always trying to find more diversity, and that's what we struggle at in this community. So it's good that Wizards is finally starting to take care of this issue. We're starting to get awesome people like yourself who are starting to see parallels in this game, whereas maybe you didn't before. And it's just so cool to see how a single character could really give you that grounding, that interest in the game that maybe some of us take for granted.
Exactly. A lot of people don't realize that there can be huge groups that could really make the game more fun that don't get into the game because without it ever actually being said, you can get the idea that this particular thing wasn't made for people like me. And this particular thing won't have anybody that's similar to me. And that can be a great icebreaker when getting into the game, feeling like you belong there. Like there's things out there that are meant for you. And I've loved the direction that the Magic community has been going in general, especially over like the last 2 years, where it is becoming way more diverse. I've met so many more women that play and people in the LGBTQ plus community that play than I had since I had started playing this game a little over a year ago. Like it's been this year in particular that I've seen just like this explosion of people from every kind of background, and then seeing more cards like who you mentioned, Nigo, as well. Like it's great. It just gives you this feeling like you are supposed to be here.
Yeah, and it's good for me to be able to see this representation come into the game because, again, my local LGS, it's basically white dudes like myself. And it's really when I got into the community here with the COVID times, I really realized, you know, this game really can be for everyone. It's just not quite there yet. So it's been interesting just diving in and meeting a lot of people where maybe this is really one of the only safe spaces to really be able to discuss some of these issues, because again, in the real world, there are consequences for some of these things, unfortunately, and there may not be a lot of good avenues for saying that representation is necessary in this game because, you know, there are just deep-seated issues. And I'm not going to go into this, obviously. I'm not trying to change the subject here, but yeah, it's just good that we're starting to really be able to create a community, or at least be able to continue fostering the community that has people from all over, all walks of life, all orientations, just all interests, being able to come together in this shared space to be able to have fun with the same format, same cards, and be able to enjoy themselves.
Exactly. And that's why Kaya was really, really important to me. And I'm hoping that she'll be the first ever fictional character that I cosplay as well. Like she's bringing me into that world as well, because it really does mean a whole lot. It means so much more than a lot of people realize to see yourself represented.
You should definitely cosplay as that. You would be, again, you would be perfect for it. So I would recommend, and again, I'm not much of a cosplayer myself. I'm dabbling in it, but no one has seen my costume yet. So hint, hint, I'm working on a cosplay costume right now. Hopefully I'll reveal that eventually. But yeah, you would be perfect for
Halloween
Kaya.
reveal.
Yeah, something like that. We'll see what's happening. Maybe there are some implications that I'm trying to get the costume ready for, you know, for certain reasons. But yeah, I think that you would be perfect for doing a Kaya's cosplay. You just got to figure out exactly which version of her you wanna work with. Whether you wanna work with kind of the original, the Pollyanno, the conspiracy version where we first really meet her, or whether you wanna go with the Metal Kaldheim vibe, or just kind of somewhere in the middle. I think you'll do great no matter what you do.
Thank you. I'll hopefully I'll be able to do a Halloween reveal as well.
Awesome, awesome. So before we finish today, I want to ask you one more question. Since we've been talking about everything kind of in the past, is you learning things, getting better, feeling like you're more in tune with the community, and just in general feel like you're getting better at the game as you go. Where do you see yourself going in the next couple of years on this trajectory, and what do you hope to accomplish through the TikTok and just as a Magic player in the next couple of years?
I want to continue growing and seeing where the game takes me. I haven't given too much thought about where I'll be with all of this years from now. I'm just concentrating on one step at a time, and my plan is to continue doing what I'm doing, just documenting my journey as I'm learning different things and hopefully meeting a bunch of really cool people along the way. Who knows, maybe in another year or two, I could try doing a podcast too, or at least a blog. Like I want to stay in this for a long time.
And that's really awesome. Again, doing a podcast, it's some work, but it's also very rewarding because I'm able to have awesome people like you on here to talk to just about whatever the
Oh.
subject is. So I would definitely recommend that, and definitely never stop. what you're doing. Is that it's been fun watching you learn. It's allowed me to really be able to reflect on myself as a new player, trying to get in, trying to deal with those same obstacles that you're running into all the time, and then how you learn and how you feel like you're able to get past those, and then to really get to the meat of the enjoyment of the game. It's been so fun. Thank you so much for being on here. It's been great having you.
Thank you very much for having me. This was a fun conversation, and it was really chill and easy to be able to talk to you.
Oh, thank you. And again, where can people find your TikTok if they're interested in learning more about your personal project here about and just your normal everyday learning about the game?
Oh, well, yeah, like you said, it's all on TikTok mostly, where I'm documenting everything, and you can find me on there under Anomaly. But actually, now because I'm becoming more well known for Chatterfang, there's my own hashtag. I just remembered, if you go on TikTok and look for the hashtag Kaya the Squirrel Girl, I will pop up now.
Oh,
It's
that is so
fantastic.
cool.
Yeah, I love it. I'm
Oh,
starting to use that hashtag more and more often now because it's a really fun name. But you can find me under the same name, Anomaly, on Twitter as well. And hopefully soon I'll have a Patreon that'll be set up.
and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people out there who are definitely excited to see what you're going to be doing in the next 6 months, the next 2 years. You're doing a lot of great work. Keep it up.
Thank you.
And if you've enjoyed this conversation and you'd like to hear more of my conversations with other awesome members of the communities and other awesome creators, you can find the entire back catalog of the MTG in Quarantine podcast on the usual podcast outlets. That's Google, Spotify, Apple, Player FM, MTG Cast, Castbox, Podcast Addict, and a lot of other places that I just never remember. But if it's a good, solid podcast platform, I'm probably there. And you can also find me on Twitter at MTGInQuarantine or twitter.com/MTGInQuarantine. I'd also like to give a huge shout out again to my awesome patron, Mr. Big Benz, for supporting me over on Patreon at patreon.com/MTGInQuarantine. If you want to help make me make more awesome content and help me along the way with various costs and whatnot, head on over to patreon.com/MTGInQuarantine for more information, including how you can get your name included in the credits of all of my podcast episodes. And last but certainly not least, for my 100th episode of the podcast, I am currently giving away, or in the process of doing a giveaway for your choice of a Midnight Hunt Commander deck for the new Innistrad set that we're going to be getting here in the next month. And if you're interested in entering, go on over to twitter.com/MTGInQuarantine, like, retweet, and follow my account on there on the giveaway post. And for bonus entries, you can listen to the 100th podcast episode, follow the prompt with a comment in there, and you'll get a bonus entry into this giveaway. The giveaway will end on September 3rd, so definitely make sure to get your entries in now for your chance to win. All right, and with everything said there, again, I hope you really enjoyed listening to this podcast episode. I certainly did. Thank you for listening. You've been listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. My name's MJ. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.